Blog Talk Radio.
You are now locked into the beats with the East Coast music mogul, DJ Mike Q, Queen Beat Productions, DJMikeQ.com.
What?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Anna? Put your hands together on the bass. The real.
To the real!
Wait, the legend.
Hello. The girls hear you, honey. They hear you.
Honey, they do. I didn't know.
Yes, they hear you, honey. They hear you. You got to get in the chat room. We got to get you. We got to send you the link from the chat room so you can see the chat room. The girls in the chat room, they hear you, honey. They're listening, honey. Go ahead and talk, honey. Go ahead and talk, honey.
I'm sorry, everyone.
And it's Classic Tuesdays, honey, and I'm going to turn you back over to your host, the legendary icon herself, Cabbage Ebony, honey. If you need anything, honey, just hit me up on Yahoo. I'm here low-riding, honey, painted to get ready for Rogue Tuesdays, honey. And I'll be right here, honey.
Okay, hi, everybody. I was just, I didn't even know if I was on or not, but I'm so sorry. But this week, everybody, I'm going to get to more phone calls and everything else. I guess Derek is going to chime in so she can finish off from last week, which I'll be happy for. But anything else, it's all about my callers today. So switchboard, when you get the callers, and you get when you get the callers, send them over to me, and I'll take their phone calls as soon as possible. I'm just trying to find out. I was in Detroit this weekend, which was surprising for me. Because I usually don't go to Detroit, and I was asked by Goddess and her son, which is a house member of mine, Marcus, to come out there. I had a lot of fun. I mean, Detroit is, if it's not back on its way or up, it's on its way. I really lived there. Venue was really, really, really cute. I really had a lot of fun. It was great. So if anybody has any questions, anything that you want to ask, just hit me up, guys, because it's all about the callers today. I didn't invite anybody on, so, like, I'll hold off. If Derek comes on, I guess you can also ask Derek some questions because he's just about as knowledgeable as I am about ballroom history. But anything else, guys, just hit me up, or I'll see if I can get my son to get into the chat room. See if I can get Joseph to get into the chat room, and I guess I'll be able to filter phone calls from there or answer questions from there if I can. Just give me a chance to get in. But are there any phone calls, switchboard? Oh, I have a private caller. Okay, private caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, yes, honey.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, baby.
I was wondering, why do y'all call Whitney the Blueprint?
Why do we call Whitney as in Whitley used to be Mugler, now Garcon?
Yeah, like, why is he the only one y'all call the Blueprint?
I guess it's not he's the only one that we call the Blueprint. It's the one that, I guess that's a nickname that just stuck with him. I mean, do you think that he should be called something else?
No, I was just wondering. Because there's other legends and icons that walk space, but y'all call him the Blueprint.
There are many before him, and I'm sure there's going to be many after him. He's just one of the Blueprints. And I think don't you feel like he deserves it to be one of the Blueprints?
Yeah, he
does. Of the
same
category?
I just thought it was like a special reason why y'all called him the Blueprint.
It's just a nickname that stuck with him. I mean, everybody used to call him the Blueprint because, you know, Whitney walked a lot for the House of Mugler, and I guess also for himself, but he was one of the Blueprints. There were many before him, like Joseph Princess, Alan Adonis, Michael Dupree, Michael Princess. There are many before him. I mean, he's just stuck out as the Blueprint. There's Ira. That was originally Face of Performance, but, I mean, these are Blueprints, too. It's just that name stuck out.
Okay.
Did that kind of answer your question as much as I can?
Yes, it did.
It did? Okay, honey. Where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
North Carolina? Okay. So do you have any Blueprints out there?
No.
No. You do. You're just not looking hard enough, honey. You're just not looking hard enough. You might be the next Blueprint. Do you walk?
No, I'm just a skater.
No, not yet or not as of all?
Not at all. I just like to watch.
You just like to watch?
Yes,
okay. Nice hearing from you. And that was a great question. Why is Whitley a Blueprint? We're going to have to research that more and why do they call him the Blueprint. But I suspect that because he was one of the more first names that name kind of stuck with. And I feel that he deserves it. That's but mind you, that's only my opinion. Okay, honey? Thank you, caller. Next caller, switchboard. If there is any more. No? Okay, no more callers. All right, everybody. So, yeah, as of yet. Okay, so let's talk about Detroit. If there's anyone in Detroit listening, some of my favorites, Goddess, Marcus, Gaete, I can go on and on and on and on and on. But anybody online listening from Detroit can call in and tell me how you felt about this weekend's ball.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I was calling in. I want to know why I'm from Texas and they got this the girl Naomi. I've been seeing a lot of clips on her on YouTube, and I want to know why they keep saying, like, how do you know who is legendary and who shouldn't be legendary? I mean, how do you go on there and opinion on that?
Okay, so Naomi, Now your question to me is how.
My, like, so my question is to you is how can they say that you legendary, but she not legendary? Like people say, like, is it a time frame that they've gone, or they just gone? How many battles you win?
Here it is. Here's how they deem legends and icons and statements and stars. You got to turn your TV or your radio down just a little bit. Like you're hearing the playback. Okay.
Hello?
Now I can hear you perfectly. Now, here's the whole thing. And there's a certain status of deeming statements, stars, and legends. That's why they have it.
Yeah.
Okay, in order for you to become legendary, you have to be walking pretty consistently for 10 years. Or inconsistently, but you got to put in at least 10 years of walking and dedication to your category or categories.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So 10 years make you legend.
Also, that's why they're saying that they don't feel that she's legendary because she ain't been walking for 10 years?
As far as I know, I think I might be incorrect, but I will check in on it for you. I think that Naomi is coming up on legendaryhood, if not legendary already.
Yeah.
Because they just.
Am I saying her name right? Naomi, the Mizrahi, the girl who's on a.
Naomi, one of the Vogue Evolutions.
She's been walking.
I think she's been walking close to 10 years because I remember when she was.
Mother Naomi is definitely legendary already.
She's not.
She's legendary already.
Okay, so Naomi is legendary already because I remember when she used to be a latex. And an angel, and if I can remember correctly, that is all got to be more than 10 years. So, yes, from what I've just heard from Kelly is Naomi is legendary. Okay, caller?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, baby. Okay, any more callers? Switchboard. No. Okay. So there are no more callers, guys. So we're going to talk about Detroit. Does anybody want to talk about Detroit? Is anybody out there on the line for Detroit? Push one. Stick up your hand. Let Switchboard see you, and you can come on. You can talk about how you thought about the function in Pittsburgh and what are your personal feelings about it. I mean, you know. If anybody's sitting next to Goddess, tap on her shoulder and tell her to call in. You know, if anybody's sitting next to Janice, Mother Mizrahi, tell her to call in. I would love to hear from her, too. I mean, just somebody call in if you want to, or give me an idea in the chat room. What would you like to talk about? And we can get to that, too. Okay. So are there any more callers? No. Okay. So we're dealing with no more callers and everything. So you guys got to talk to me and tell me what you want to talk about. I mean, I could talk about this weekend. We could also talk about the ball that was in Pittsburgh. Anything else went on in New York, Kelly, that you know anything about that you want to talk about? Or you went over that all yesterday? I didn't get a chance to get on your phone. I was to get on your on last night. I was so tired from Detroit from the whole weekend, but I had a good time. Anybody else? Any callers? The girls said
the girls in the chat room, they said they want to talk about ballroom. That's what they want to talk about. They want to know about the ballroom. That's what they said they want to talk about. We talked about the show. We talked about everything in Detroit. The girls in Detroit took over the show last night, honey. Everybody from Detroit took it over last night, and it was all about Detroit. So, can I just hear now? Okay, well,
I want to talk. This is what I want to talk about. Since you got to meet in Atlanta, we talked about this last night. Kool-Aid said last night that the girl that she called out for legendary was already legendary, but they was never caught out about it. And everybody was calling my phone all weekend long, and they felt some type of way about the situation. How do you feel about it, even though you was at the meeting and we said we wasn't going to call nobody out again until the Legends Ball, December 6th in Atlanta?
Believe it or not, Kelly, I was really shocked. Because I thought that we had kind of come to a level of awareness when we were at the Alliance meeting that we were not going to call them out. And come to find out, I guess things change. Or I guess in the heat of the moment or for the second of whatever happened, that came up. But I was kind of shocked at it. I mean, what are we supposed to do about it, you know, as a whole, as a community?
Girl, I don't know, honey. Everybody, all you girls, everybody that's on the phone lines and everybody that's in the chat room, everybody sits back and I hear so much good things about the show and I hear so much bad things about last season with everything just being so negative, last season. Now I'm giving y'all all negative on Monday night and I'm giving y'all all positive on Tuesday night and positive on Wednesday night. No one's pressing one. No one has questions or anything. Like, what the fuck? Hold on, Kevin. You have another caller. Hold on.
Okay. No problem.
304-438. You're live on the air with the icon herself. Kevin, you have any?
Hey, what's up? Good night, Miss Kelly. Good night,
Kevin. Hello, honey.
Hey. I wanted to ask a question. It's kind of ballroom related, but it might be a little off topic. It's actually about New York. I'm wondering, like, how do you feel, like, the progression of the city is going and, like, in terms of, like, the kids? Like when you go to the pier now, like, they have, like, this little, I guess it's like a store there or something like that. And it's just changed. Like, how do you feel about that?
Okay, let me tell you how the pier used to be when I first came out, which is the latter 80s. Okay, it had just started becoming where a lot of people would come to hang out. But when we hung out, we used to go out there. We used to jump rope. We used to play Red Light, Green Light, Vogue. We used to have fun, and we used to be able to do it all night long. Now, because there are a lot of million-dollar properties over there now, and they're starting to fix the village up, which is a good thing because now it's a safer place to be. They're also limiting you on the times that you're going to be out there, which is good because I don't think that too much of anything is too much and it's not good. But the police are really strict now, which is another good thing because you have people that come out there to do jogging, to skateboard, roller skate, rollerblade. The difference to me is it has taken away a lot of the a lot of things that we used to have a long time ago that we used to have fun with. But it's also cleared up a lot of prostitution that used to go on the pier. At one time, you know, from the pier to 14th Street, there used to be a lot of prostitution. Now they've cleared it up a lot where there's no prostitution on the pier itself. Now it's what everybody calls the back blocks, as they say. Which I have nothing wrong with prostitution. I mean, I don't think that it's for everybody, but those that feel like they have a means to do it, I guess they have to do it. Who am I here to tell anybody what are they going to do to survive? But it's just like a lot of things have changed for the better and the worse. I mean, there used to be a lot of homosexual cruising at the end of the pier in the salt mines, and that came and afforded to a lot of deaths and a lot of people finding a lot of people dead in those salt mines covered with salt, never discovered. So they cleaned up a lot, and they made it a lot safer than what it used to be. But and also with that came a lot of rules and restrictions, which are good in a sense and some kind of not good. But, I mean, you got to take the good with the bad with everybody, you know, and with the peer. So it has had a drastic change. It really has, but for the better. And I think that they give a lot of things now that they never used to give, like movies on certain nights. And then different organizations are able to give, like, little functions, like the outside mini balls or whatever, or the Kiki functions, which seem to be fun, and they seem to go over pretty well. So I think it's something new. It takes away from a lot of the lackluster, but I think it's a safer place now for the kids to go in and enjoy themselves. And because they have a store so close, it doesn't mean that they have to keep going across, back and forth across that highway. So I think it's a good thing. We miss a lot. A lot of history is lost. But, I mean, with shows like this, when you guys tune in, I'll be more than happy to tell you how the pier used to be and how Peter Rabbit's used to be, which was a club that was right across the street, and Uncle Charlie's downtown and different things of that nature that you have missed. But in your time, you have a new pier, safer measures. Y'all can make it just as fun because they can do a lot of games on the pier, too. It's just that a lot of kids don't become creative and don't want to go out there and do them, or it's embarrassing to them. It's so many things that we need to get back to the basics of doing things. Right. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it definitely did.
Thank you.
Can I ask another one?
Oh, yeah, of course. Go ahead.
I guess, like, in New York, there's, like, an issue in terms of, like, securing places for us to have balls. But I think that that's an issue for the ballroom from coast to coast. So what do you think can be done as, like, a ballroom collective to secure a venue? Because I guess, like they always used to mention, like, the same places where people would have balls, like, over and over and over, like, I guess back in the day. And I guess, like, now it's just, like, the lab, and I guess this place where Giselle just had her. You know, like, it's a few places becoming available now, but it's so expensive in New York to hold events of that nature. So what do you think can be done, I guess, to kind of, like, secure a place for people to have balls?
I think that we as a whole and as a community need to go out, and we need to do a lot of more researching, and we need to do a lot of more networking to other businesses. Like, the places that the Mizrahis had in the Bronx, I think, was wonderful. The Mark Ballroom in my day was a wonderful, and it was always consistent that they always gave a ball in the Mark Ballroom. And before that was the Elf Lodge, and after the Mark Ballroom was the YMCA in the YWCA in New York and Brooklyn. So we had a long run with a lot of places, but because of certain individuals, they become very dangerous after a while, like fighting and ruining the bathrooms and spray paint on the walls and stuff like that. So we as a community, we need to police up on ourselves so that we can keep venues that kind of are lenient towards the balls and different things of that nature. We don't have to call it other names like sorority parties or fashion shows of that nature. You know, as soon as you say ball, they seem to get real discouraged with it. So, I mean, as a whole, you know, like different houses, Ebony's, Mizrahi's, Ivisu's, Garcon's, we all need to get out there and, like, you know, the parents and different people of the homes need to research. Like, I know that Michael Haynes and Joseph, Joseph that also runs the clubhouse, they also, you know, always are looking for venues for different things of that nature. So we all need to kind of network. But in the means of the networking, also when we get these places, we need to learn to respect the property. You see what I'm saying? And I guess it's old and young. I mean, you know, are involved with it. Because as me being an Ebony, I can, you know, always tell my house members, you know, don't go in that bathroom and put the stuff in the toilet bowls or mess up the bathrooms and stuff of that nature. Because when that happens, places don't want to rent them to you. And when they do, they want to charge you so much just in case of damages. And so the overhead is just so crazy. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, that is something that we should deal with as a whole, not only here in New York, but as we heard a few weeks ago, it was going on. They didn't want it to happen where their venue was messed up by anybody else out of St. Louis. So they want to keep their venue secure. And that's what we need to do in New York also as a whole, as a community.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree totally. I do.
Okay. So let me see if I have any more callers. All right. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have a private caller now. Private caller, you're on the air. Private caller, are you there? Okay, my private caller is gone. But that was a good question. What will we do about new venues in New York? And consistent with the ballroom scene itself. Okay, I have a new caller. 347-267. Caller, are you there?
Hi, hello. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, baby. What's going on?
All right. Not much. I have a question. Well, I have a comment to make.
Okay.
When I attend balls, I attend with heterosexual people. We sit here, we watch the DVDs, and we look at the flyers, and we pick what ball we go to. The issue we're starting to have is when the category calls for something else. Now, these people with heterosexual, they don't know. They starting to pick up on what's wrong, and, you know, like, certain things is draining. And for a perfect example, the latex ball. You had a crowd of people I was with that left because of the sister versus sister category was too long. They said the performance was boring. They find a lot of film queen categories. They don't like the female figure categories neither. Like, what do you think should be done to change that?
Okay, now, that is a really, really, really touchy situation because you're asking me, being homosexual, to devise a comfortability sanctuary for heterosexuals. And that's kind of going to be hard because, okay, are they heterosexual men or heterosexual women or both?
Actually, I'm not actually divided. Like, they understand the scene, but they are women.
When okay.
They look for, like, the level of energy, like, they notice the thing, judges not paying attention, or this person's getting their tens and they're not deserving it, or this person's, like, calling a category, like, bringing the category like it should be.
Correctly.
Yeah, correctly, and they are noticing little things like that.
Okay. So what you're asking me is, what do we do as a collective to, like, kind of put ballroom back on its axis, as, like, put it back on to where it's exciting and it goes by the categories where everybody can understand it and the judges should pay more attention? Well, let's deal with the first question, judges. Picking judges is not a very easy thing. To me, and I've experienced it once at my own function. When you get judges, I feel that not all judges are meant to judge. I don't think that you should pick a judge that has problems with attention span, also a judge that has not decided to review your category sheet prior to them sitting on your judges panel. And I really feel that a lot of times judges only judge because they've gotten in for free. You see what I'm saying? They really don't want to judge. They just want to get in for free and be called out as a judge. And I guess that's all the claim to fame to them. But when you're a judge, you take on a responsibility for your house and for other houses. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, to be able to judge somebody fairly. And if you're on the judge's panel, you should be paying attention to what's going on. There shouldn't be a time where the commentator has to say, honey, pay attention. There shouldn't be that. You should always be in queue with your commentator and who's coming down that runway. Because these people have taken time out to prepare for this category, to get themselves together. They've spent money for their clothes. They've spent money for their effects. So, I mean, if you're a judge and you got into the function for free, I mean, and the reason why you got into the function is because you were deemed to be a judge, you should do your job. And a lot of them don't do that. So, and tale of that is, I think that from now on, a lot of people that give ball, I really don't think that everybody should give a ball. But that's only my opinion, again, at the end of the day, and who am I? I mean, I'm just another person that feels that. And if I feel that way, and I feel that way about certain balls, and those are the balls I choose not to go to. And as a collective, we as a people should not go to a lot of functions that a lot of these illegitimate houses give, or people from houses that feel that they've been walking a little while and I guess their rent is due or whatever the case might be, and they want to give a ball. Those are not the balls that you should be going to. So us as a whole, we should pick and choose balls much carefully and know what we're doing and know what the ball is offering. Look at the flyer. Call the house mother. Call the house father. Call the people that's on the flyer. Find out what's going on. What time is this ball going to start? Where is it going to be? What time is this establishment giving you the ballroom to? You see what I'm saying? These are the things that we should be looking at as parents of houses. I mean, the location. and everything of that nature, so that we'll know what's going on. And your other question was the categories being too long. Baby, let me tell you. Right now, you know, Vogue Femme, Twist, female figure performance, in certain places I see that runway, female figure runway is a big thing now. That is just the call of a lot of people walking that one category. And just imagine if you were a Twister or a Vogue Femme, you want to have your turn to walk. You know what I'm saying? So I guess it's just those categories are just so long, but they need, the categories need to be more creative to me. To me, if the categories called for more, less people would walk and they wouldn't walk so often. You see what I'm saying? At every function, Vogue Femme is usually a category where they're lined up around the corner.
Yeah, and that's like, because that's the issue. Then half of the time, most of them on that line is not even voguing correctly. They voguing offbeat. They, it's just so much going on. And, like, the judges look confused and they look lost, but they still get their 10s. But I feel, as an individual, if Vogue Femme and these performance categories are going to be that long, I think they should do something like add all six elements. Because if you add all six elements, then a lot of people ain't going to walk because they don't have all six elements.
Okay, here's a good question for you. Name the six elements to me.
And performance, spin, dip, duck walk, cat walk, and did I mention four performance?
Yeah, you said six. There's really only five.
Only five?
Mm-hmm. So not unless you put an extra one in there that you feel that you want to see, there's really only five. But still, that is a good idea. But again, you can always do that because people start off, you know, you can start off, you might be a beginner, you know, and you're not Virgin Vogue anymore because as soon as you win one trophy, you're no longer Virgin Vogue. You see what I'm saying? So now you're going to have to take your lumps like the big boys and get out there and get all your five elements together because eventually, after a while, someone will spook and start chopping you. I'm sure if I spook it, you were definitely chopped. I do not. That is one category. Performance is one category I really, really, really don't play with. And if I'm on the judges panel, I chop them two at a time. Not because I'm being shady. It's because what you're not showing me anything. You're not, you know, performance used to be something that's hot from beginning to end. It's performance. It's supposed to be hot from beginning to end. And a lot of people don't take it that serious, and I don't take them that serious. I chop them, and, like, people will ask me all the time, oh, Ms. Cabbage, why did you chop me? I said, because, you know, that performance didn't look exciting to me. That performance looked like you were being really lazy, and, you know, you were holding back, and you wasn't giving me exactly what I wanted, and it's not even personal about what I want. It's about you're showcasing your best, and if that's your best, then you need to give up performing and go to another category. Or stop walking, period. And I've done it to a few people where they've said to me and turned around, and I had one that one day told me, you know, I'm of the year. And I said, oh, since I chopped you, you're of the year? She's like, very, yes, darling, I'm of the year, just to make you know it. And I got very, you know what? That's fabulous. And the next time I see you, if you're not performing again, I'm going to chop you again. Because now you are of the year. So somewhere they saw you, and if you're going to come in front of me now and slack and think you're getting comfortable, it's not going to happen. So I think that a lot of judges need to be less shady and more direct and stern with their judgment. And they need to pay attention to when people are walking, regardless of what the category is. If you know there are categories that you don't like, there are certain categories I really don't care for too much, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. I don't have a choice of what categories I care for and what categories I don't care for, because if I said yes to judging and I came in and I didn't pay to get into the ball and I sit on your judges panel, I'm supposed to do my job diligently, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm supposed to judge fairly and as conscious as I can. So there's a lot of improvement in the ballroom, but we as houses can't do it by ourselves. Everybody needs to do it. That means the Ebony's can't do it, and the Mizrahi's, and the Milan's, and the Garcons, and then other houses don't do it. You see what I'm saying? We all have to come together and, like, this is the reason why now we have an alliance that me and Kelly was talking about earlier in the beginning of the show. We have an alliance that deals with ballroom walking, judges, venues, statewide, you know, and it's like these are things that we're trying to get to on slowly but surely, but we can't do it alone. So, I mean, you guys that come to functions and different house members need to realize that we as a whole, as a community, again, need to work together and see if we can kind of improve the ballroom scene for tomorrow. Okay, because today is here now, and we're dealing with it. But what happens to tomorrow when the new generations come out and they want to learn about what performance is and what Witch Queen Up in Drags is and what face of performance difference from straight up face or Models Magazine face, which is a category they don't even have anymore, which I think they should bring back. Skirts Ahoy, another category. These are different categories that should come back that should kind of liven up the ballroom. Like we were talking about twisters and how so many twisters are not really twisters anymore. They're really Vogue femmes with a twist. But there are a lot of things that we need to improve on, but we can't do it by ourselves, so we're going to need the help from callers like you that come to functions, pay their $30, and it doesn't seem like you're getting exactly what you kind of expected. Correct? Hello, caller? I guess we no longer have our caller, but let's see what Switchboard has for me. Any more callers, Switchboard? Let's see. Commercial, honey. I guess we're on a commercial break.
Good evening. I am Wildred, your butler. And I'm here to inform you that the House of Ibiza presents to you Clearon. On October 9th, the House of Ibiza takes over New York City. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the ball begins at 8 p.m. sharp. Please be on time because we will begin the ball without your presence. The date of the ball is Saturday, October 9th. Here are some cash prizes. Male figure best dress, $500. Female figure best dress, $500. Legendary femme queen performance, $500. Legendary butch queen Vogue femme, $250. Butch Queen Runway, $1,000. Femme Queen Face, $1,000. Schoolboy Realness, $250. Legend Team Battle, $1,000. And House with the Most Points, $1,000. Plus, there are many more intriguing categories and cash prizes. Reminder, you must have an ID stating that you're 18 years of age to enter the building. There's absolutely no glitter or spray paint allowed on premises. Tables are $250. The address to the ball, 504 West 45th Street between 10th and 11th Avenue, New York, New York. Please see flyers that are circulating in DVD format for more details. Or check walkmewednesdays.com. And please remember, I do like to keep this place tidy.
Yes, we are now back from a commercial break. I need Cabbage. Are you there, darling?
Yes. What's going on?
Okay. Well, this is what we're going to do, Cabbage, because Switchboard is telling me that you have a lot of callers, okay? So this is what we're going to do to everybody that got their hand pressed up. Everybody is going to be able to ask Cabbage one question. After y'all ask Cabbage that one question, Cabbage will answer that question, and then y'all are going to be placed back on hold. If you have another question after that for Cabbage, you can press 1 and come back and ask Cabbage the next question. Every caller gets to ask one question. You're going to be put on hold, and Cabbage is going to answer that question, and we're going to get to the next caller because we have callers that have their hands up, okay? And the next caller is 410-655. You're live on the air on Classics Tuesday.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, Mother. Okay. So, like, I have a question for both of y'all. And I happen to be on, like, my favorite website, MediaTakeout.com. And I came across, like, this film queen that's, like, telling her tea that she's supposed to be, like, a film queen or whatever, and I think she's supposed to be, like, from the Midwest or something like that. And I just wanted to know, like, I don't think she's a film queen. I think she's just a cunt just trying to get, like, publicity stunt or whatever and trying to tell, her, you know, the girls that she's a trainee and everything. But she knows so many people in the industry. She takes so many pictures. And it's like, why risk yourself in doing something like this? So what I wanted to know was, what do y'all think about, like, the girls that's in industry, if it really is a film queen, telling AT and they're around so many, you know, industry people, and they're around so many, you know, influential, like, people, you know what I'm saying, and they're making this coin, and they're doing these things out there in this industry, you know what I'm saying, and then all of a sudden you want to tell your team, and it's like, damn, now you putting it out there, and you putting other people out there, like, what do y'all feel about that?
Cabbage. Naima, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Where's Cabbage at? Did Cabbage just disappear?
I don't know, honey.
Where the hell is Cabbage at, honey? Cabbage disappeared, but I don't know, honey. I don't know how.
Her name is supposed to be Sydney Starr, and she's supposed to be in the house of, Escada or something. She's supposed to win $1,000 at this ball. If you go on Ballroom Throwbacks and she's walking this ball and she had won over the Prodigy child, Lisa Prodigy.
Talk about Alicia Keys, Escada.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's different strokes for different folks, bitch. If she want to go out there and tell her team this thing, bitch, then that's on her. Bitch, maybe we don't know. We never know. She might be a cart that came to the ball.
Right. And then she, you know what I'm saying? The reason why I'm asking this is because it's like, okay, you know how, like, cunts will mock us and they would just, like, come for us and stuff like that? And they'll be like, oh, well, you know, I'm a tranny and this and that and the other. It's just certain things, her demeanor, certain things she just do. And if you look at this YouTube video of her just sitting there and she plumping up her breasts and she's like, well, I'm, you know, really feeling myself and I just want to feel free. And, yes, I'm a transsexual. Yes, you can't believe it. I know. It's just a little shit like that. Like, oh, no, this is a cunt and she's trying it. But at the same time, she's on this ball and she's walking some queen realness.
Corona.
So I just want to know.
Well, maybe when Cabbage get back on the line, we'll bring you back on and we'll have Cabbage answer that question for you, honey.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, so you stay right there. We're going to place you back on hold. Cabbage is having some technical difficulties right now. So as soon as Cabbage get his things back in order, honey, and Switchboard hit me back up, we're going to come back to Cabbage. But right now, we're going to play a little music until we get back to the legendary Cabbage Amity, okay?
Serving up the beats and making it hot. It's DJ IQ.
Hello? Hello, everybody. Is everybody there? Can anybody hear me? Kelly, you got to say something because I don't know if you can hear me or not. Cabbage, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Hello? You're back, Cabbage.
Okay, I don't know what happened. My phone cut off.
and I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Hold on. You got another caller. 973-397. You're live on the air on the week. I mean, on Classic Tuesdays. 973-397. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays. Okay, I guess not. You go on, caller. 347-385. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Yeah, hello.
Yes,
yeah,
you're live
on
the air.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, go ahead. Hi.
This is Derek.
Oh, do you have a question?
Oh, hey, Derek.
It's Derek.
That's
Gabriel.
Derek, bitch.
I know it's Derek. I knew the number when you said it.
Hey,
oh, well, hold on. Let me get another caller. Stay right there, Derek. 803-226. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesday with the icon Derek Ebony and icon Cabbage Ebony.
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the air, baby.
Yeah, go ahead, caller.
How you doing, Cabbage?
How you doing, baby?
All right, my question is, I'm new to the ballroom scene, and I just want to know a little bit more about Butch Queen Face and the pioneers from that category.
Since Derek is new on, since Derek just got on, I'm sure that Derek can cover this for you. If you wish to, Derek, can you, or you want me to do it?
No, I mean, what is it that you specifically want to know, since you said you're new? Just about the categories and who started it, basically. Butch Queen Face. how long have you been in the ballroom scene? I just recently joined. Okay, are you in a particular house? Not really, just, you know, looking at it for right now. Not okay, sure yet. You're looking at it. All right. You want to know about the category Butch Queen Face. Butch Queen, you said about the history of Butch Queen Face. The history of Butch Queen Face, it's a category based on elements of what is called Carter. Carter consists of skin, nose, eyes, teeth, mouth structure, and beautiful skin. That category has existed, of course, since the 70s. The first person to ever walk Butch Queen Face was Erskine Christian, who's still alive to this day. He was a category made just for him called Marvel Magazine Face when drag ball started in the late 60s, early 70s. Butch Queen Face is still a prominent category in the scene today alongside Fem Queen Face. Now, is there any other specifics that you would like to know about Butch Queen Face? Because there's so many names of people that I can name that will be on here forever. So is there any other specifics? Is that the category that you pop with someone told you that they think that you should walk, or is this a category that you're curious about?
Just the category I'm curious about. That's interesting.
Okay. Huh? That's interesting. Well, Butch Queen Face is an interesting category. There's faces used to be in the 80s, dark brown and light. It used to be divided up into three shades. And then there's faceful performance. That means that that's the art of selling face, consisting of voting around your face, selling it to the judges, selling it to the crowd, with performance thrown in. It's kind of 50-50. There's masculine face, where basically the more masculine or more mature-looking Butch Queens who have really, really, really good Carter that consists of a little bit of facial hair, or had a mannish appeal to them. Like I said, dark and lovely, light and lovely, brown and lovely, you know, then exotic face for the more people that are more exotic looking, more island type face. Face goes through a whole lot of different, there's a whole lot of different genres of face. And in order for you to understand what face is, you have to attend balls to even watch, because every ball, you know, there's different people that walk different faces, you know. Some people are Carter, when that means they're basically naturally lovely, flawless skin, and there's painted face, where people paint to enhance their face, you know what I'm saying? Then there's naturally lovely face, where people are just naturally lovely, with no marks, no blemishes, no paint, no additives, no preservatives. It can go on and on. I can extend face for a long period of time. When I said extended, I mean in terms of talking about it. Those are just the gist of it. Just recently, they just had a $5,000 face category
for the Butch Queens, and a lot of them walked, and this guy from the House of Yvesu won, and that was a big thing on it because he was a new person, the one that never saw him before. You know, he came and did his thing. He was really different. You know, all the guys that had walked were, of course, established face legends and face statements, but with this guy named Emery, I think it was, he was new, he was fresh, he was young, and he actually won the category, you know. And so face is about basically presentation. These days, from what I'm noticing about face, you know, if you want to speak about face, face has always been about a look. You always had to have a style. You ever had to look about yourself. It was always well-dressed, well-kept. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't about no jeans and T-shirts and sneakers. When you wore face, you had to look like a model. You had to look like you representing something, you know. Unless it called for something else. But anytime you walk, when a Butch Queen walked face, you had to have a presentation going along, and the presentation was about your look and your style and your dress that complemented your look. Always kept, you, when you walk in face, always keep a haircut. You know what I'm saying? Freshly cut that day or the night before so your skin could sit. You know what I'm saying? And it was just about looking good. Perfect skin, perfect teeth, and a neat appearance. And that's what face, that's what Butch Queen face was all is to me is all about. Anything else?
No, that answers it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller, for definitely calling in. The next caller is 443-977. You're live on the air with the two icons. How you doing, caller?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. And yourself? Question? A comment?
Yes. Top Cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal, Ma?
What's going on, boo?
You know who this is?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Tamara.
What's going on, Tamara?
How are me and Moochie up on here, bitch?
So what's going on? What questions do you... I know that you have a question.
We got a problem because earlier we was listening to this radio show. And you was calling people legendary and we couldn't take it. We felt real some type of way about it.
Well, remember now, y'all gotta understand one thing. I have not deemed too many people legend. Now who are y'all talking about exactly?
Okay, well first let me ask you this. When did the Y in Brooklyn, when was the last ball that they threw at the Y in Brooklyn?
The last ball. What ball was that, Derek?
Kelly may know that.
Was it Tony Revlon?
That ball that was earlier. That was early in the morning. They're supposed to have start 6 in the morning or something.
Right, because
Tony was the last person. Yeah. Tony Revlon was the last person to have a ball at the Y. I remember that ball. It's specifically because I came out the cage for Sex Siren and the steward chopped me.
Okay,
I remember that one.
So what year was 2004 or was that 2005?
I think that was like 2000. It wasn't 2004. I think that was before that. I think that bill was like in the last bill of 2002. Because 2004, 2005, I was in Jamaica.
Okay,
so we have
a problem. Shut up, Samara. We have a problem with this whole new legend thing.
Moochie, go ahead and speak
Moochie,
up a little later, Monica.
I can't hear you, Monica.
I think the new legend thing is absolutely absurd.
Okay. Explain to us. This is what the radio show is for. Explain to us. Hear your problem.
Here's my thing. Hear me out. When I came out, there was a certain dynamic to the ballroom scene. You had your knots. You had your legends. You had your icons. You had your up-and-coming legends. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you have to be consistently walking for 10 years to become a legend.
Correct.
My thing is, when a bitch come out last night and you're calling them a new legend, I have a problem with that. I don't think it's right, and I think it does a disservice to the girls who have really put the work in because it makes your status
less
a little shaky.
Okay.
I don't think it makes sure status of the most.
Everybody can't. No, what it does is what I'm saying is it depreciates your status to
okay.
me.
So you
it
feel
really
that. Go ahead, Derek. Go ahead.
No, I'm with my son.
Okay, so what you're saying.
By the way, hold on, Cap, this is how I feel about it, right? And this I feel about it like, and I tell everybody, it's like being a rapper, being a singer, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody, all these girls, everybody's talking about where they're going to be legend, or this person's need to be legend, or this person's going to be legend. Everybody is not going to fucking go platinum. And that's what these girls in the boardroom seem need to realize. Everybody's not going to be a legend. Everybody's not going to go platinum. And when the girls realize that, the scene will be better off. Because
I understand what you're saying, Kelly, but my whole thing is if it's right, it's right. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't have a problem with somebody calling somebody a legend. From what I remember, a girl used to be legendary for their category. I don't even know what happened to that. If you're just going from a statement to a star and then you become legendary all of a sudden, whatever happened to an up-and-coming legend?
Girl, they knocked it out. They knocked it out the way, honey. They kicked it out the door.
Okay, I think I'm gonna step in for a second, just for a light.
Okay, go ahead.
What happened? This is what actually you're going about the four phases, which me and you discussed, Monica, one day on the train. Four phases: up and coming statement, up and coming legend, legendary. Four levels of status. Of course, they've actually knocked out that. They've actually made some type of criteria, star statement, then legend. That's some criteria. No, that's not a criteria for status. That's something to get a ball started. You know what I'm saying? That's called LSS. You know what I'm saying? There's no such thing as a star. What is the definitions of those four things? Because people always ask, well, what is the definition? Up and coming statement is a person who's basically has sat there and you've watched balls. And you've got to understand your category. You understand what it is about. You know what it is to who you need to battle, who you need to turn out. And then when it's time for you to walk, you're prepared. And when you do walk, you walk and you win. And you consistently walk. Sometimes you may lose. Sometimes you may win this, that, and the third. You are now an up-and-coming statement. You know what I'm saying? Because you're up-and-coming. You're somebody that's basically showing prospect for your particular category. When you reach the plateau from up-and-coming statement to statement, that means that you are an established person. You have gained a rival. You know what I'm saying? Probably. You know what I'm saying? Not every category gains a rival, but that still doesn't take away your attributes of what you've actually done. You continue to walk. You've made moments. You've made memories, this and the other. You're doing your thing. You're showing that basically I am here. I am not going anywhere. This is my category. This is what I'm actually doing, you know? Now, the longest stretches between up and coming, from become statement to up and coming legend, this is where you pound the pavement the most hard on the ballroom floor. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have at least two or three bitch, I remember wins. You know what I'm saying? When somebody can go back and say, oh, bitch, I remember when she came in the helicopter and landed on top of the ballroom and they lowered her down into the ballroom, into the floor, and she fell into a dip. Boom. Then if you don't have something on that level between up and coming legend and statement, then you have to have attributes that basically can coincide with your walking capabilities to make you say that I am not the person to be fucked with. You know what I'm saying? That's a stretch. The next stretch is between up-and-coming legend and legendary. You know what I'm saying? We know what that stretch is all about. Those are about all those fantastic moments that you have acquired in your whole boardwalking career. Now, boardwalking career consists of walking, winning, losing, battling, and creative moments. That's what it's all about. So what you're saying, Monica, is that – wait a minute. What you're saying, Monica, is that those girls have not even gone through that. Is that what you're saying?
No, they haven't. Going from 0 to 60 in like 90 seconds.
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, but also, too, what has happened is that I don't remember – Cabbage doesn't remember, and you don't remember. I don't remember anybody being declared anything. You know what I'm saying? Because what you did on the ballroom floor spoke for itself. True or false?
Right, and
I don't remember.
I appreciate everything that you're saying, Derek, but this is my whole thing. This is why a lot of girls that I know who I'm good friends with don't walk anymore. Because when you have these certain specific categories, especially for the legends, and you have girls out there who are not supposed to be walking, there's a disconnect.
They're not supposed to be walking particular legendary type categories? That's what you're saying?
They're not, because they haven't put the work in. And that's why. I think there's a reason, there's a privilege and an honor to be called a legend or legendary for your category. So
yes,
what does that do for the people who have put the groundwork in, and then you got a bitch standing next to you who is not on your level?
Well, that's a thing that I've seen.
That's a conversation about a larger ball community having a conversation about, because it has to do also, there's no more legend balls. The last legend ball was, what, 2005? You know what I'm saying? At the mini sink? We don't have legend balls that actually showed representative that you knew you was not a, you could not get on the floor unless you was a legend. And you wasn't announced as you were a legend. You knew that you were a legend, and everybody else knew you were a legend. So you don't have those legend balls anymore. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have those balls that have those legendary-type categories. You know?
I think that if girls keep changing the rule book and keep throwing things out of the rule book, then why have these rules to begin with?
Right. The rules have never – honestly, to me, the rules have never changed. I'm not changing the criteria. I'm not changing the criteria of what ballroom – how ballroom started and how people became of status, how those pioneers, you know what I'm saying? All these other guidelines and rules and regulations about this and the other. You know, they say about the 10-year rule, this and the other. So a woman, I'm going to give you a perfect example. A woman that's walking women's face, she may not have to walk 10 years to become legendary, because women's face is not that big of a category as it used to be. You know what I'm saying? She may do 4 or 5 years consistently, winning, walking, losing, battling, this and the other, compared to Butch Queen Runway. You just can't be legendary Butch Queen Runway in 3 years. It's not that easy category. Huh?
It's hard because there's so many people
right.
walking it. You see what I'm saying?
Butch Queen Performance, that's not the case.
You know. Different categories acquire a certain amount of years for you to achieve certain levels of status. Everything is not a 10-year rule. You know what I'm saying?
When a person is not consistent, then I have a problem with that.
Say that again for Monica.
When the person is not consistent, I have a problem with that.
Right.
Oh, well, consistency is the key. Consistency is definitely the key.
You have to be consistent. And when you're not consistent, I have a problem with that.
Consistency
it's not all about
is
it's turning it as well. When you're not turning it, I'm not calling you a legend, and I'm not walking against you for a legendary category, and I don't think you're a legend.
Consistency is basically 6 to 7 years consistent. You know what I'm saying?
If you ain't been out six years, right.
I mean, consistently
in the ballroom.
I ain't seen you 6 years ago.
And then it's like
but
different
again,
categories.
Okay,
let's take for granted. Okay, we're going to use 2 categories. Female figure runway. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, female figure Vogue Femme. Right?
Female figure Vogue
you
Femme.
You will find, female figure, you know you got to call it female figure.
Female figure performance.
Okay.
Okay. Now, these are 2 categories that are pretty well populated in the ballroom scene. What I see a lot of is that these are 2 categories that are usually crowded.
Okay.
Right? But they're crowded with a lot of legends, statements, and stars. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, I don't believe if you're legendary, you should walk a category for female figure performance, you know, or Vogue Femme, or even female figure runway. You know,
okay.
and you're a legend already. You should wait for legendary categories to walk
right.
You know what, Cabbage? You better motherfucking eat it. You better motherfucking eat it. That is the damn motherfucking truth. But you know what? You can't do that because they're calling everybody legend now. Just like Mucci said, they're calling everybody a legend.
But see, the problem is, that's the problem today.
At Ashley Ball, they wouldn't even call Miss Johnny. They didn't let her walk legendary performance, but I heard they let Naomi walk. Where do they do that at? Like, for real, like, that's why I brought up the thing about the Y. Because if the Y stopped having balls in 2002, if I'm not mistaken, I never seen Naomi Ball get the Y. So... They've been calling her a legend for about two, three years now.
Naomi did not walk the ball at the clubhouse downtown where the Icons had their ball that year. Ashley stopped Janice on her own. Naomi just got deemed legendary 6 months ago. After she came off the show, and she just walked as Ashley's last ball and walked as legendary. Naomi only walked legendary 5 times, but you can't even compare Naomi to a Janice that Naomi came and destroyed the scene.
No, don't get defensive. I'm just saying you can't compare Naomi to Janice or anybody
because Naomi has came in the scene and has redefined performance from back when you and Deja has won the first $1,000.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Trust the belief. Naomi is a pioneer in her own right. I would not take that from her. She is taking Femme Queen performance to new levels. That is not the issue. But the problem is, I remember coming to New York 2 or 3 years ago and them calling Naomi out as a legend, legendary.
Well, that was incorrect.
I don't know. That was incorrect. I have no idea how that could have been.
You got to also remember, Tamara,
your legend, you becoming legend and your legendary status does not only deal with you starting performance as Tamara. Like, Naomi didn't start her performance career as Naomi. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, is there a bigger issue here? The bigger issue, I think, because I think we're getting on the whole Naomi fact, and I think the big issue is back about what Monica said about staff.
The bigger issue to me is what I stand on is legendary for your category and being a legend. I'm comfortable with somebody being legendary for their category. I'm not comfortable with somebody being called a legend and you haven't been out that long.
Okay.
Right. Well, I thought you were only legendary for your category. You weren't, like, really a legend unless you were walking, like, maybe two or three categories that you were legendary for. Then you were considered a legend. Is that not true?
No, that's not true. You can be legendary only for one category.
Okay.
And
you can be legendary. You can be legendary.
Butch Queen runway, you could be legendary in Butch Queen Foot and Eyewear.
You could be an overall legend. Ballroom legend, but you can be legendary for a particular individual category.
For a particular category, that'll be
fine. Okay. And so, Monica, what you're saying overall, which is in simplest form, is that if you have not pounded the pavement over a period of years for a particular category, then you cannot be deemed anything. You are still in stages of being a statement or being an up-and-coming legend. If you have not made the attributes of legendary, this and the other, and all the things that go along with being a legend, then how are you being called that? Well, maybe that person is not calling themselves that. Maybe other people are calling that. And maybe they are wrongfully calling them that.
People need to stop doing that. They do.
So Monica, in all reality, okay, now, I know if you have a problem, I know you have some kind of solution. It might not be the correct solution for everybody, but what do you feel should be done about this? Because this happens in a lot of categories, and because you two called in, it has to be categories that you personally have some feeling about. So it has to be runway. So what do you feel should be done about this in that category?
No, I'm just making a statement. I just think that we should stop using legendary so loosely.
Right. So right, like loose. Right, like it's a cup of water.
Because it's diluting the pool of legends who have really done the work. Stop using it so loosely, because now I know girls who don't even want to be called out as legendary because it doesn't mean too much of anything to them. Me being deemed a legend, that means something to me because I put the work in.
Right, and the reason why it means something to you because you've put the work in. But so are other girls that have not put as much work into it and as much thought and as much intervention and as much time into you, it doesn't mean, it means less to them. You see what I'm saying? So now what it makes you feel at the end of the day is, what am I legend for?
Why?
I mean, why did I just, I walked all of that, and I didn't have to do all that.
What,
but again, it has to do with me. I don't want anything given to me easily and kindly. I want to earn everything because I want to be able to look back in the day and get very, I put my work in. You know, I have room to say something. I know how you feel. But there are some new legends that we have that have come up through the ranks really short. And it's a shame, and that's, and to be honest with you, it does dilute the pool of legends. But in order to stop it, what can we do?
It comes from the top.
But you get the top that's sometimes so sickled and corrupt, and you know, they seem to ride on another train until...
The girls need to be pulled out of their shit, is what I'm saying.
Right. And
right.
And also, too, like in other cities these days, other cities that have new and fresh ballroom scenes, and when I say new and fresh ballroom scenes, I'm talking about 5 or 6 years, and you have more people there in that city being called legendary such and such and such and such. You know, this and the other. When I'm, you know, for what? Are you legend on your block? Are you legend in your area? You know what I'm saying? Are you, like, I'm going to give you a prime example. Atlanta ballroom scene started in 1996. You know what I'm saying? 1996. So let's say, what is Atlanta ballroom scene? What? 96, 2006, what? 14, 15 years old?
14 years. You're, 14, 15.
Right. Just any other. Like, but you have more people down there, legend, than anybody else. You know what I'm saying? And from what I remember, the Atlanta ballroom scene in the beginning, those people that was there from the beginning, from the Escada balls to the Armani balls, are not even walking in this current age. You know what I'm saying? But you have all these people down there that are basically legendary for all these particular categories. You know what I'm saying? Only when certain people from Atlanta even came up to New York. You know what I'm saying? First started a legend with, you know, Armani, you know, for Vogue Femme. You know, then you had Maurice, who was an Armani for Body. There were people that were coming to New York City. Now, this is the problem when they say, oh, they're Atlanta legends, you know, or they're or Kentucky legends. I don't really get that. I don't get that understanding of basically state legends. Either you're a ballroom legend or you're not. I mean, do you agree?
If you're putting in work, you're not putting in work in one state. You have to branch out and venture out and go to other states and decree other people in other states.
There you go.
You can't just
walk
in your state and be considered a legend.
And battle other legends and other up and coming statements of those cities, this and the other. You just can't be in one city walking and winning, and then you're a legend in that city, but nobody knows you outside of that city. You know what I'm saying? But you're a legend in that particular city when you've never came to, honestly, the Mecca. If I don't care if there's only 10-5 balls in New York City. If you not came to New York and did nothing, then you ain't did nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? Whether you won or won or whatever, you ain't did nothing.
But if you want to get technical, in New York, it's a lot of clubhouse legends.
Okay. Well, that's a clubhouse. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know about main ballroom legends. I'm talking about major ball legends. And if you have not came to the Elks Lodge, you have not came to the DeMarc Ballroom, if you didn't come to the Y, if you didn't come to the Mini Sink, if you didn't come to these major ballroom places, the Bingo Hall, downtown Brooklyn, if you, over the years, if you did not come to those places and walk and win and battle and lose and this and the other, then you have not done anything. You know what I'm saying? And that's fine that you're known in your city where you're at, but up here, you know what I'm saying? It's funny how a person can be legendary in one city, but they'll walk legendary such and such in another city, and they come to New York and walk a regular category, but won't walk legendary such and such
hold
in their own
on,
city.
Hold
then
on,
you
hold on 1 minute, Derek. Okay. First of all, to Miss Baby in the chat room, honey, I told you girls to keep it cute, Miss Thing. I will have switchboard block you, okay? Bitch, y'all girls need to learn y'all motherfucking history, bitch. I've been all over, bitch. I don't know because the girls in the chat room is trying. They talk about I'm a New York legend, bitch. I have traveled from motherfucking
New York
state.
There's no such. That's my whole point. Kelly, that's my whole point. What is a New York legend?
No, hold on, Derek, because I got to finish getting these bitches together, honey, because you know from time to time I got to get them together. Bitch, I travel from state to state, bitch. Learn your history, bitch. Before there was a motherfucking Kelly, there was a mother U-Haul, bitch. I was taking the girls from Philly.
Oh, God, Miss Kelly is going off.
To motherfucking Atlanta, driving the motherfucking U-Hauls, bitch. Walking motherfucking categories, bitch. I'm a legendary butch queen up in drag's motherfucking wilderness. And it's
transformed you give
into
a history.
Bitch. And I'm legendary femme queen motherfucking state. You nasty fat. If you get it together, bitch, learn your motherfucking history. Now back to Derek and the iCloud. I had a conversation on my
Monica, I feel you on what you're actually saying is that basically, but I think what has to happen that things have to say no when they get rubber and they say when they're on the mic and you're commenting it in a legendary such and such and such. No, she's not a legend.
You have to say no, she's not. And it's not about being
not a legend. Oh, I'm judging her or whatever, but she's not a legend. Or he's not a legend because they're not. And they would take it right, it's personal shit. It's not because you are an established legend. And basically, if you see somebody has not pounced, and it has nothing to do with the category that you walk or what, you know, it has to do with basically the respect of ballroom. If you have not done it, if you have not made those moments, you know what I'm saying, if you have not turned it, then how are you legendary? You know what I'm saying?
So what you're saying in a nutshell is that now, us that are legends, icons, or whatever the case might be, legend is fine enough for me. Icon is something that just happened and has to sink in just yet. But I think that now, since we are discussing it, maybe we should start acting on it, and not in a shady way. But in order to do that, Monica, and in order to do that, Tamara, you must attend functions and say it. It should be no reason why they feel that everything that comes out of everybody's mouth is shade. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you miscalculated. Maybe you didn't count a year. Maybe you forgot a year. Maybe someone else counted a year for you. But y'all need to come out and say something. You're going to be hated anyway. You're going to be hate, Monica, they're going to hate you like a lot of people hate me. They're going to hate you, Tamara. They're going to hate Derek. They're going to hate Kelly.
They hate me anyway.
They're going to hate me. But I don't care if you hate me. I don't care whatever the case might be. Bitch, you must respect me, though. You will respect me out of anything else.
And I agree with you. And a person that is, if a person does get questioned, let's say a person gets questioned. When a person does question, if you can break down your ballroom history in a matter of seconds or minutes in terms of what you've done, then you will have no problem getting that acclimated. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If you can say, well, I started this, and I was in the house of such and such and such, and I wore Butch Queen and Drag, blah, 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 and all that of the year shit don't mean nothing. I'm going to give y'all to the ballroom community now. Just because you won of the year or didn't win, that don't mean nothing in terms of your accolades. You know what I'm saying? It don't.
But it
I'm going of the year. It don't mean nothing. It just means of the year.
Back when?
Huh?
It did used to mean something.
It did used to mean something, but it don't mean nothing. And I'm saying not to take away nothing of the awards ball. Nothing is thinking of that, but it still is a part of your history. But it doesn't establish. It doesn't put any type of major establish. Your ball walking, what you do on a ballroom floor, is part of your legacy.
I'm gonna say something to you, and this has always been something that has always been on my mind, and it's something that I always seem to harbor within myself, and I think it's really time that I say something. I believe that in New York, there should only be 10 to 12 balls that are considered for any kind of legendary statement or star. Any kind, it should be, that's all it should be worth. Okay, period. I don't care what anybody says. The rest of the 35 balls that are given by Sissy from the house of Hookalookamoo, and, you know, she's a fab girl, and she gives all coins out, and, you know, she always get a fab price. Right. She always got fab boys right. at her ball, and it's over. Fuck her. There should be 10 to 12 houses that are responsible for giving responsible balls they are noted and they are legitimate. Legitimate being their house has been on the ballroom circuit for more than 15 years. Not 10, 15, because now we're going past legend. And so you've got a responsible, founded house. Which houses are those? Should be, and I might not be able to name all 10 or 12 right now. At the top of my head, Milan, Ebony, Mizrahi. But we're not going to give 4 balls a year. We're going to give 1 ball that counts towards you being of the year. 1 ball from each house that is reputable and legitimate. I'm using these words, reputable and legitimate, for a reason.
Okay?
Okay? The house of Ivisu, they have more than 15 years in it. They have a lot of ballroom experience, and they have a lot. I think they're reputable. Revlon.
Okay.
Okay. Mugler. Garcon is a new house. Don't get me wrong. Garcon is a new house. I don't think they're reputable yet. They have legends in the house like Whitney and so many others and Michael that does so much in the ballroom scene. But still, the house itself has not been out more than 15 years. So they can give balls, but don't consider it a ball that's going to be put on the charts. Like the House of Milan, the House of Revlon, the House of Ebony.
The House of Allure, the House of Prada.
The House of Allure, the House of Escada, the House of, is Prodigy got 15 years in yet?
Okay, I got you on that.
Okay, now you said
that goes back to that. I remember this question about giving balls in New York City. Balls in New York City is not as frequent as they used to be because of venues. You know what I'm saying? Because of the venues that we've actually had that we've destroyed. You know what I'm saying? When we had a marked ballroom, everybody gave a ball. That was major. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a marked ballroom. We don't have a Y anymore. You know what I'm saying? And when we do get a nice venue, what happens? We fuck it up. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But it's not going to make any sense if there are 45 balls a year, and then you got another 40 balls. How many weeks in a year? Because that's how many weeks there's a mini function from either the clubhouse or Esco's or something. Rumble balls are major because they're all over the state, so you can consider them for a major function. But all the rest of these little rinky dink houses giving these rinky dink functions, honey, they need to either stop. Or we need to tell our houses not to go to them. If they don't qualify, if they don't stand for nothing, they're not going to stand for nothing, period. If the house is foolishness, it's foolishness. That's why, because a lot of people are having a lot of balls. They never get to their grand prize. When they get to their grand prize, they're expected the door to pay for it. No. No.
Yeah,
the quality of our balls has become shitty. The quality of the people that come out of the ballroom scene has become shitty. And we can only do nothing but cause it on our own selves. We did it to ourselves.
Okay.
Hold on, Cabbage. Tamara and Monica, I want to thank y'all for definitely calling in. But Cabbage has Cabbage has a whole bunch of callers, and it's 29 after the hour. And after we come back after this commercial, Cabbage, you have like 10 other callers, okay? So we're going to have to get to these callers. We only have 29 minutes left. We're going to take this commercial, and I'll be right back.
All right.
Good evening. I am Wagner, your butler. and I'm here to inform you that the House of ABBC presents to you Clue Ball. On October 9th, the House of ABBC takes over New York City. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the ball begins at 8 p.m. sharp. Please be on time because we will begin the ball without your presence. The date of the ball is Saturday, October 9th. Here are some cash prizes. Male figure best dress, $500. Female figure best dress, $500. Legendary Femme Queen performance, $500. Legendary Butch Queen Vogue Femme, $250. Butch Queen Runway, $1,000. Femme Queen Fade, $1,000. Schoolboy Realness, $250. Legend Team Battle, $1,000. And House with the Most Points, $1,000. Plus, there are many more intriguing categories and cash prizes. Reminder, you must have an ID stating that you're 18 years of age to enter the building. There's absolutely no glitter or spray paint allowed on premises. Tables are $250. The address to the ball, 504 West 45th Street between 10th and 11th Avenue, New York, New York. Please see flyers that are circulating in DVD format for more details. Or check walkmewednesdays.com. And please remember, I do not to keep this place tidy.
Okay, we're back from commercial. The next caller is a private caller. Private caller, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays with the Icons. Private caller,
hello.
You're live on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're live on the air, baby.
Hi, I actually wanted to call in, and I did have a comment, but I wanted to, I did have a question, but I wanted to comment first on Alicia Keys Escada. That is, like, my girlfriend, and I wanted to say she do be, and, like, she's a video vixen, so she has a lot of pictures with Bobby Valentino, Soulja Boy, and a lot of young rappers that's in the industry. And what I like to say to the young lady that was inquiring about her by us being female figures.
Hold on, call live. We'll bring the young lady back online. Hold on. Naima, you're back on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead,
I just wanted to say about being a female figure, it's our life that's in our hands. So if she want to make mistakes like that and go out and, you know, spill her business and tell everybody, you know, she's, you know, this ultimate film queen, which I have knew her since she was like 17, that's just like something that she has to look forward to. If, you know, she's ever seen out on the street or she's ever seen at a club where the young celebrities hang out at, they might remember her. And I know she's like, I really don't know what to say she's like, but she really don't care about no one knowing her too. But when she's, like, going out and auditioning for these jobs, she do put out that she's a female. But at the end of the night, she do tell the guys that like to take her home or like to take her out that she is a transsexual. So I don't know if they, like, really answered your question about, you know, being safe and, you know, you spilling your tea the way you want to spill your tea. But, yes, she is a film queen, and she's from the Midwest. She's from Chicago, actually.
Okay, well, I mean, it wasn't no tea, you know, it was just when the video that she made where she was like, oh, I'm feeling myself and I feel so free, and yes, I'm a transsexual, and, you know, yes, I know y'all can't believe it and everything like that. I just know late cunts to do stuff like that, and it just came off like this could be really a cunt.
But, and she is, and not to cut you off, she is young, so you know by her being young, it seems that when she grow up that she has to look back on and be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, because 9 times out of 10, if you look at the situation, honey, you could have got you a husband out the picture, but you sitting up here acting like a boy, that's
mm-hmm.
not cute. But if you you act like a woman and you be mature about the situation and you keep your business to yourself, because I know her sex isn't changed yet, but, I mean, the guys is going to find out regardless because of the way she acts. But she is a young lady, like, doing the business hours that I see her on sometimes. But, you know, we all can be mature and bingy at certain times.
Okay. I want to thank y'all for definitely calling in. You know,
wait, Kelly. I have a question for Cabbage.
Okay, go ahead.
Cabbage, my question to you was, I wanted you to elaborate on this. Why do these young kids feel like us as gay parents supposed to take care of them totally when, you know, we are only here to empower them and to educate them and to teach them right from wrong? And if we told them something to give them a little advice, say, for instance, my little son, he came to me and he was telling me about this date that he had. And I, you know, by me being from the old school, I knew that the date was supposed to be, you know, a couple of girlfriends of mine, you know, said that he was sick or whatever. And if he actually came out and told one of them. So by me being a gay parent, I told my son, you know, take up, you know, watch out for yourself, safe for sex, say, safe sex is the key, you know, always use a condom, and, you know, don't never let nobody burback you. You have the option of not being a statistic. So he comes to me one morning and was like, he's been over my house, and he handed me the cell phone, like, here. And I'm like, who is this? And he like, somebody want to talk to you. So the guy that, when I get on the phone, it's the guy that, you know, he's dead. And so he like, did you say I was sick? I'm like, no, I didn't say you were sick. You know, I basically stated, you know, basically I told him to use the condom. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not the Lord. I'm not a, the blood that runs through your body. But if he's young and you're older, you should be looking out for himself, yourself and himself, because he has the right to know. So I was a little upset with my son by that. And I just want these kids to understand, you know, we're here to educate you and to empower you. And I'm sorry if you get some parents that want to be your father or some girls that want to be your mother just to have you. But Miss Singh, I don't have to have you. And at the end of the day, you have to crawl before you walk, walk before you run, and run before you fly. So a lot of youngins need to understand they need to be young and they need to look up. So if someone was born a year before you, then you need to respect
that. Hold on, Carla. I can answer that question for you, right? And I'm going to answer it real quick. I learned this from my grandmother, right? You, a lot of you get attachment to a lot of these kids, and you feel that they're your real kids, and you feel like your blood is running through their blood. Let me tell you what my grandmother always told me, and she used to do this with all my aunts and stuff. Bitch, blood is thicker than water, but cum is thicker than blood. Thank you, Carla, for definitely calling in.
Thank you.
That's
my word to it.
The next caller is 404-808. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Hello, everyone. How you doing, sis? This is June. Icon Mizrahi.
Hi, June.
How you doing?
Thank you for listening in, honey. How do you feel about the conversation tonight? How do you want to feel? How do you feel about that, June? How do you feel about legends? How do you feel about you walking and someone standing next to you and you know this is a legendary category, and as you can figure out that this person is not a legend, and what do you do about that? What do you do to that? What do you say to that?
Well, I spoke about that last week, and before I even comment on that, I didn't have time to say last week. Derek, I love you dearly. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping me make my name. If no one knows in the ballroom scene who helped me make my name, it was my dad, Derek Armani, who first saw me and brought me into the ballroom scene in 1990 at Mabel Milan's ball. I love you dearly. There's nothing in this world I will never, ever forget who made me.
Well, you're welcome, June. You're welcome. You're welcome a lot. Now, in terms of that, in terms of going back to that whole thing about status, you know what I'm saying? You know, when again with Monica saying about putting your work in, and it's about putting your work in, right?
Yes.
And we've all put our work in. You know what I'm saying? You put your work in over a period of time. You know, let's go about when we were talking about categories, going from, you know, you were the person, you could walk Butch Queen up in Drag Runway and win. And when Butch Queen Runway and win. Butch Queen Foot and Eyewear and win. And Butch and Female Figure Foot and Eyewear and win. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm talking about in terms of establishment. You know what I'm saying? When you did it over a period of time, a period of years, where you have signified, when people look at that category and name you're saying, that's the one to watch. She's the one to get. That's the one to battle. You know what I'm saying? And all the memories and moments that you make along with that, you know? And I think the bigger issue about status here is a bigger community issue, and not an issue that can be solved on a radio show or in a forum, a small forum. That's a community issue that we all would have to sit down and have discussions about. And honestly, it is not really a big discussion because the criteria is always there. All this new criteria that they're trying to make now, I'm not seeing that criteria. The criteria that was established by the pioneers, David, Avis, Kevin, all of those people that started this whole ballroom scene, that criteria has never changed at all. Do you or do you not agree?
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. All the extra attributes and things and this and the other, it's about walking. Ballroom is about walking, winning. Walking, making a statement. Walking, battling. Walking, getting a rival. Walking, even losing. Walking, making a memory. Over a period of years, depending on the category. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, women's face, she don't have to walk 10, 12 years to become legendary. It may be 6 years. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not a big category like that. But Butch Queen Runway, yeah. But Butch Queen Runway is one of the biggest categories in the scene. You ain't going to be motherfucking legend in motherfucking 5 years. You know what I'm saying? You just can't. There's just no way in hell, heaven, earth, that all of a sudden that you're going to be legend. And honestly, declaring legends on radio shows, television shows, YouTube, on the moon, whatever, I ain't never heard of that. I ain't never heard of nobody being declared anything. What you did on the floor showed that you was legend. You know what I'm saying? Announcing stuff, and then Icon is not a status. Icon is not a status. That has nothing to do with you ballroom walking. Icon is the name of who you are. Pioneer Icon, David Extravaganza, Ultima, Ebony, whatever. That's his name, Icon. He is a ballroom icon. He's not an icon from a category for best dress for labels. That's an oxymoron. He's not an icon for a category. He's a ballroom icon. It means that he is the epitome of what ballroom is. Icon Cabbage Ebony. She is the epitome of what ballroom is. Not about a category. She's a legendary all-way diva. Legendary all-way diva. A ballroom icon. It's two different things. You know what I'm saying? And that's what people get into. And that's what is watered down, the whole legendary status. Legendary status is not watered down. They water it down, but that's where it stops at. As far as it's legend. Legend is where it goes. And for you to get to that easily, I just don't see that. Not if you can't sit there and say what you've done over a period of years and how you've made memorable moments. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I feel. You know. But that's me. You know.
Right. Okay, Kelly. Can we keep Drew right there and get another caller in? We don't want to.
803-477. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesday.
How you doing? How y'all doing?
Hi.
Say congratulations to my grandmother by getting your icon status, Cabbage.
Thank you, honey.
Who is this?
I know who it is. Let's see if he's brave enough to say his name.
I really don't have a question or a comment or anything. I just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
Okay, next one. Okay. Who is that, Cabbage?
I'm not going to say on the air.
Okay. We got some girls that still got their hands up.
One of the best questions, well, of course, was Monica's thing, Monica's feeling something. And the best question about when the kid asked about Butch Queen's face. You know what I'm saying? Because this is what I realized in our community, that these kids, me teaching ballroom history, you know what I'm saying, that these kids don't know the definition of a category, whether they walk it or not. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a whole big show in itself about the definition of category, where you just take and all the different genres of things that fall under those categories. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't really know. You know, kids get pushed out into the community, out there in the ballroom floor, and they don't even know the basis of what their category is. You know what I'm saying? What's the real true meaning of it? What's the true meaning of performance? What's the true meaning of face? What's the true meaning of runway? What's the true meaning of punk rock? You know what I'm saying? All of those things. And I think that's a bigger conversation. Once you get the basis of the definition of categories, you understand ballroom a little better.
You do, because this weekend I dealt with a situation where somebody got hurt. What was Owe? And I said Owe was performance, pop, dip, and spin, or performance with a prop. And when they tell me, well, what did they call performance with a prop? And I said Excalibur.
Correct.
They said to me, what was that? And I said, well, it was performance with a pop, but the correct name for it was Excalibur.
Yeah.
And
right.
Another, so what was the difference between pop, dip, and spin? I said it was different because performance were like, you would look at them like ballerinas. You would look at Jerome, Peg Jarvis, you know, but pop, dip, and spin was Marvin LaBeija, Miss Jerome, Baby, they used to be an Infinity. They were different, like Nathaniel Ninja.
Right.
Those were pop,
pop, dip, and spin was about the elements of voguing, the popping,
right.
The dipping, the lopping, the spinning. You know, you perfected those elements and you mastered those elements. Performance was about basically selling. You gave me a story with your voguing. You gave me a story with your voguing. Your voguing was
now,
just.
We don't have that. We don't have that quality of performance anymore. There's no innovation. I mean, you can look at a few performers, and you can see what they're doing. You can see where they're going, but a lot of them you don't see it. And when I sat down, and it was like about six different kids, and they were like, they always had these categories. Because I said to a child, oh, you would be over for Excalibur, and she didn't know what the hell I was talking about. But she watched performance and has been walking. You know what I'm saying? And it's like they're missing so much. Just like Runway. And, you know, only thing you see now that's really kind of coming back out is Shade Fest. What happened to Runway, my God, in all black, coming from a foreign country? They don't do that anymore.
Honestly, I remember when Runway was a T-shirt and a pair of jeans. You know what I'm saying? It was just the art of just selling something really simple. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Unless it called for something else. Or Runway used to be a cat suit and a blazer and a hat.
Right.
Well, this
was something that made you.
Huh?
This weekend they just had a ball, and Runway was totally done head to toe.
Okay.
And it was going to the NAACP Awards. Some of the outfits was like, wow. Some of the outfits got very, kids did not do their research on head to toe.
But if they don't know what head to toe is, if they don't know the true meaning of head to toe is about fashion and about style. You know what I'm saying? Head to toe over this is about fashion and style. And if you're going to a award ceremony, if you got something avant-garde and you going to the NAACP Awards, then where are you going? Right. But that goes back again about Kevin's definition.
They had best dress, and it was totally done. When I think about best dress and I think about totally done, I'm thinking about you're totally done from your head to your feet. So when I'm thinking about you don't have to put head to toe overness for me to think about totally done, because totally done and head to toe overness is the same thing. It's just about how you word it. When I think about totally done, I'm thinking about somebody that got a hat, glasses, shoes, bag, everything.
That's totally done
to me.
Yes,
so
that is totally
done. Everybody's breaking everything down, and we run it everything so differently. Totally done, and head to toe is the same thing.
It's just the word is just reversed. That's all.
You got to
right.
It is.
So,
it's totally done. And what they used to say is totally done from head to toe. Totally done. The totally done part means is that everything that you have on it is exquisite. That's what totally done is. You know what I'm saying? Head to toe is to make sure that you have on a hat and that you make sure that you have on some shoes. You know what I'm saying? That's head to toe. Head to toe overness. Everything that you got on is more over than the next piece that you got on. My hat is more over than my glasses. My glasses is more over than my jacket. My jacket is more over than my shirt. My shirt is more over than my tie. My tie is more over than my belt. My belt is more over than my pants. My pants is more over than my socks. My socks is more over than my shoes. That's head to toe overness. You know what I'm saying? In a couture look. Totally done.
Right. But again, do you blame the kids for this, or do you?
No, we don't blame. I don't blame the kids for this. I don't. I blame
parents for this.
I blame the parents in our older, larger community. You know, this and the other. I'm gonna say this.
I'm gonna say this one last thing because I know that y'all was taking another call. I'm gonna give you an example of the era of kids.
I'll let y'all know what we got.
No. Me and Dre was doing ballroom history at Bronx Community Pride, and that whole group of kids that weren't even in Kiki houses, they weren't even in a house. Armani and all of those kids, it must have been about 50, 60 kids up at Bronx Community Pride, the door at Hedrick Martin. When we were breaking down categories for them, when we was breaking down Paris is Burning for them, when we broke down, those kids put on and learned so quickly of what it was to walk a ball. You know what I'm saying? Because they got that experience. And those same kids that we taught and showed, they are the new winners of today. You know what I'm saying? Because you know why? They got taught. That goes back to what we were saying. If you're not being taught that, you just won't know and understand that. They didn't know nothing about a ball. They didn't know nothing about nothing. But we showed them what it was. You know what I'm saying? I was showing them fucking VHS tapes. You know what I'm saying? All old school stuff. They understood what ballroom was about. Now that's why they appreciate it so much. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what it goes about teaching. You know what I'm saying? If the kids are not being taught, Kelly, June, and Cabbage, then how are we expecting them to do something if they're not being taught nothing?
So what are we going to do about it? I mean, at the end of the day, we as legends and icons need to come together to help the kids for tomorrow, but what are we going to do about it? I mean, shit, we can meet anywhere. We can do anything. I mean, for that matter, I mean, we can get a collective going on, and we can come to my house and sit down and give a collective between each other and then go back to our houses and give a house meeting and sit these kids down and let them know where Ebony came from, where Mizrahi came from, where Ibisu came from. I'm sure the Milans
right.
do it. I'm sure the Ibisus do it. We all need to do it. The Revlons need to do the same thing.
You have a caller. 803-477. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Hello.
843-477. You're back on the air on Classic Tuesdays. Okay, they're gone.
All right, next caller if we have one. But if not,
hold on, we have one. 803-608. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kevin. This is JJ Ebony from South Carolina.
Hi, JJ, honey.
Hey. Okay, I have a question. Earlier, you were talking about the performance. Okay, you were saying Butch Queen Vogue film with the kids bring it with the five or six elements. Okay, it seems to me as nowadays, you know, people are not going to use the elements. They rather see you dance and see more dancing and performance than they see the five elements, because that's what I'm seeing a lot lately, is the kids rather, you know, do a backflip or a cartwheel into their performance, and, oh, that's 10 for everybody, instead of doing all five elements. So is there a difference between Butch Queen performance and Butch Queen Vogue film? Because Vogue film seems to me is where people will bring the elements, but performance, if you say performance, they're going to want to dance or do some kind of stunts in their performance to get their 10.
To be honest with you, I don't think there should be any difference. I think that people divide it amongst themselves to make it easier for themselves, but I don't think there should be any difference, and I think that's also, that comes back to the whole thing of the criteria of judges and knowing what you're judging and reading your category sheet. If it asks for performance is what it is. It speaks for itself. Okay, and Vogue Femme is Vogue Femme. But you're going to still, out of everything, you should be telling some kind of story. May it be shade, may it be how your day went, maybe it whatever. It might be a routine, but in your routine, I'm supposed to be able to visualize what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be able to visualize what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And when I can come to you and give every, oh, mister, you must have had a rough day, darling, because you was reading, and you look at me. Because there's supposed to be some kind of interpretation from your performance. Don't take away from your performance to please what other people think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You must perform to the best of your ability and give it all what you have to give it. Because if not, then you're not giving it. You're giving up. You're giving what somebody else wants to see. So then why are you walking the category if you're not giving what you want to give it? You see what I'm saying? In all reality, performance is... how I learned how to Vogue was to be shady. I mean, I could read and use different words, but if you could Vogue, your shade just came out cleaner. You didn't even have to say a word. You know what I'm saying? And then you learn how to perform, and then you perfect different moves you're known for doing, something that was comfortable. But you need to perform, and every category has its own little niche. But performance is performance is performance is performance. It's a performance.
You know, Cabbage, you know where the girls mess up, and this is where I read my kids at when I have house meetings, when they voguing. When you out there, you need to be performing for the judges. And this is where
right.
These girls mess up at. These girls don't perform for the judges. They want to go move for move with the girls. That's not performance. You put on a show for the crowd, and you put on a show for those judges. You don't take and go move for move with a bitch because you're never going to be able to keep up with the next bitch going move for move. Just perform and let the judges see your talent. That'll speak for itself. And it kills me when you sit back and you see the people on the sideline because a bitch do a dip and a spin, and they on, and the judges on. All of that shit, that works me. That works me so fit. Just let these bitches show their motherfucking talent and vote. Why you gotta go all so the judges can turn around and look and pay attention at your girlfriend? Bitch, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. They did not do it back in the day. Ray Ray, Taifa, and all those motherfucking girls used to come out there and be the softest thing and everything. And nobody was all in everything. Everybody was just crowding around and everybody was just watching and just gasping. Now you got a bitch that got an all for their girlfriend. That bitch, that shit needs to stop too.
Miss Kathy.
Yeah, it does. Yes.
I have to speak about something from last week that y'all was talking about, the realness with a twist.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, I must give a shout out because I told these kids I was going to give them a shout out. LJ LaCroix took realness to a twist back to the day when you said, "The boy come out there voguing like a boy." He vogued like a fucking boy, and I live. To B-Rock Ebony, I love you dearly. Realness with a twist is your category. To Twan Milan, you served it for realness with a twist. To, I can't remember this other Ebony name, he's from Virginia, Robert or something. These boys came out for realness with a twist, and I'm talking about Soul. Godfather, Rashad, Prodigy, you represent Atlanta like Atlanta has never been representing from state to state.
What ball was this?
I love y'all all dearly. And the kids sleep on Virginia for Vogue Cinema. Them kids Vogue's down. It was the hottest category in the ballroom scene besides Runway Sunday. So to you, grill this with a twist, you must
well,
look like a boy.
Them a
and come out voguing like a boy.
It must have got a rise out of you, June, for you to be talking about it.
Baby, these boys came out and they performed. And these were some kids that I had never seen, and I told them that I was going to give them a shout out because from an icon and a legend seeing that and boosting them on and letting them know it's not about if you win, it's about that the people on the sideline and the judges saying, bitch, you served it no matter if you win or lose. That's the whole point.
Okay.
That's the whole key of the thing.
Just
so,
one question. Did they vogue like Cabbage was saying how it used to be, or are you saying that they vogue their asses off like it was Vogue Femme? I'm just want to clear that up.
Right.
Did they take it back?
All four of them that I called out vogue like boy. They took it back to the old school.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, there you go. Okay. All right.
Oh, okay. So they brought it back the original way.
The original
way.
Okay.
How it should be. You know what I'm saying?
In all reality, how
Cabbage.
It should be.
Okay, Cabbage. Wrap it up with your guest, Cabbage. You got 1 minute left.
All right. Go ahead, you guys. Wrap it up. June, thank you very much for coming on. Derek, it's always a pleasure. Anytime you want to jump in, any week that you need, that you think that you hear something that you want to finalize.
Okay.
You know, your opinion always works with me. Kelly,
okay.
Thank you. So, Derek, go ahead, then June, then me. Go ahead, Derek. You can say your final words now, Derek.
Derek already hung up already.
Okay,
June, so. Well, let me wrap it. Let me take it before you go, Cabbage. I am the legendary overall East Coast mother of the house of Ms. Riley, and like I tell you, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the life you save can be your own. Whatever alleyway, whatever bathroom you in, please make sure you practice safe sex and definitely wrap it up. Cabbage, take it away.
I just want to say thank you, Monica. I just want to say thank you, Tamara, for coming on the show. Monica, your opinion means a lot to me, and I think that it's something that we need to talk about even on a deeper level. Everybody else, next week I'll be on. I'm going to probably have guests next week, but whatever you think of that you want to talk about, just come on. Let's talk about it. Let's hash about it. As long as it's something positive, I'm always in the works for that. Monday nights is for Kelly. Kelly can definitely deal with that. I am a little too old, and I'm just a little too mean for all of that. So thank you very much, everybody, and please, whatever you do, just keep in mind that the life you save will be your own. All right, thank you, everybody, and good night.
Good night.
That's right.
Good night. Thank you.
We'll be back here. Girls, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night for Ladies Night with the legendary Nicole. She will definitely be on the air with the legendary mother, Angel Revlon, and Cass. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Serving up the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
runway.